The views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Welcome in to Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show. Good evening. This is Featherlight, and Black Rose will be joining us shortly. We have a great show scheduled for everyone. One of our topics is, what is the significance of Black August? And also, we will discuss, how can we protect our children? So we will be discussing those and other topics tonight. So get ready for a great show. Here at Mind, Body, and Spirit, we respond to your letters about life, your spiritual journey, health, relationships, dating, career questions, love, sex, etc. in the Ask Mind, Body, and Spirit segment. Good evening, Black Rose.
Ooh. Hey, Featherlight, this is Scotty.
Yes.
Black Rose, I don't know if you can hear us, but your mic is open now because we can hear you typing or doing something. So.
Because I was certainly trying to send a message to say, hey.
Ooh. Are you there, Black Rose? Featherlight, looks like you're going to hold it down.
Yeah. Okay.
Hold it down.
You can send your letters to mindbodyspiritradioshow@gmail.com and log on to blacktalkradionetwork.com to hear the show, or call in to speak at 704-802-5056. Our show starts at 9 p.m. Central Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. So you can join in the enriching dialogue with Black Rose and myself, Featherlight. You can also follow us on Twitter at MB Spirit Radio. And you can join us on the btrcommunity.com page and then join the Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show group page to interact with Black Rose, myself, Featherlight, and listeners from around the world. So I will share my quote as we wait for Black Rose. I usually have a quote about knowing who you are. It's very important that we know who we are. As Marcus Garvey so eloquently said, know thyself. Who are you? This is a quote. I am looking in the mirror of self and making adjustments in me. I am looking in the mirror of self and making adjustments in me. There was a meme that I saw today, and it said something like, when you face the person who is responsible for what is going on in your life, and it was a person looking at himself in the mirror. So there are some things that we need to address about ourselves. So look in the mirror of yourself and make the necessary adjustments. Another quote, a lie and truth, wrong doesn't become right, and evil doesn't become good just because it's accepted by the majority. Just because it is accepted by the majority doesn't mean that it is right, good, or the truth. So we have been talking about the challenge, the sacred challenge healing, for the past few weeks. And so we're closing that out, and we're going to introduce the third chakra, which is the solar plexus. So the first chakra we talked about was the root chakra. It was about survival, security, and stability. It's your form, your body, your ability to be on this planet, your ability to have the things you need in this world, manifestation. It's right is to have. You have a right to have the things you need. The color is red, and the element is earth. The second chakra we talked about is the sacral chakra. It is called the seat of emotions, and also referred to as the pleasure principle. This chakra relates to the ability to freely express yourself without fear, to have positive relationship with others. There's a release of guilt and shame, and no fear of change. You have a right to feel pleasure, sexually and otherwise. Its element is water. It's free-flowing. Its corresponding color is orange, which represents change. So balancing this chakra releases internal pain and suffering and allows you to enjoy meaningful, positive relationships with others, freedom of expression without guilt or fear. And we're going through the chakras one by one together. And I do hope that many of you listening to our Mind, Body, and Spirit show participated in the sacral chakra healing challenge, and that you will continue to balance your first and second chakras like you tune your car or a piano. One tuning does not last a lifetime. Do what you love. Feel free to express yourself. Be open to change. Release guilt and shame that's holding you back, and get back to nature. Nurture your relationships with water. And now we are moving up the body, raising the vibration to our third chakra. As I said, the solar plexus, and its element is fire. From earth to water to fire. And we'll discuss more about this chakra later on. Let's see. So we have some hot topics to discuss, and then Black Rose will give you some opioid factoids, which she usually has plenty of. But we're going to talk about, before the hot topics, let's talk about someone doing the damn thing. LeBron James and his I Promise School. James partnered with Akron Public Schools in designing the state-of-the-art institute. The school opened July 30th for 240 at-risk third and fourth graders. I Promise says it will provide an innovative, STEM-focused, and experiential learning-based approach to urban public education. It will also have a longer school year and longer school days to accelerate learning. Amenities at the institution include free tuition, uniforms, breakfast, lunch, and bikes. Bikes for all of the students. How great. That is really wonderful.
Hey, can you hear me, Featherline?
Yes, I can. Welcome, welcome.
I think welcome. I had to adjust the settings, apparently. Thank goodness. I'm somewhat of a techie, I have some new headphones. trying to do better. You know, you the devil good. Is always busy. Thank
yes, you. Always, always.
The devil is always busy, baby.
Yes, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
But I've blocked this information that you're trying to share.
Hey, can't stop, won't stop. What is it? Forwards ever, backwards never. Black August, baby. Mm-hmm. All right, so namaste, Featherlight.
Namaste, Black
Rose. I heard you talking about LeBron James's Promise School.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that, I hope that dreams will not be deferred, that dreams will be realized, materialized, and all that good stuff.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Can I share my Langston Hughes opening? Yes.
Oh, let me finish this last thing about the LeBron James School.
Yes.
Transportation is also free for students who live more than 2 miles away.
And of course, people were complaining about, oh, well, you know, LeBron is not really financing the school. It's going to cost taxpayers $8 million. Well, how much do our schools cost us? We're paying for public schools. I don't even have any children in public school. But I'm still paying for public schools.
Always somebody going to find something negative to say about something good.
I'm telling you, but, you know, I commend LeBron James, and that's why we are honoring him tonight.
Yeah.
Doing the damn thing. Open the school. And I know LeBron is wealthy and connected, and he had the wherewithal and the resources to open this school. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I think that that's absolutely great, because to whom much is given, much is required.
Exactly.
He's a stand-up guy, went back to his community. As many of these athletes and celebrities or just people who go back to their high schools and speak and motivate people. So many people that we don't hear about. We hear about this with LeBron James because he is LeBron James. But I'm sure that someone would have written about how this young black man that came from this neighborhood, this challenge, quote unquote challenge neighborhood, and opened this school, helped fund this school. And I just want to say also, because the opioid addiction is so prevalent in Ohio, this is needed to steer those children away from possibly becoming an opioid addict.
That's true.
Because it's so prevalent up there. You know, the sheriffs and the sheriff's wives are dying. The children, I mean, you just have families just dying. It's ridiculous when the sheriffs are ODing. How are you the sheriff when you're ODing? Oh, Lord, have mercy. But anyway.
Yep.
Oh, yes. Commendable. LeBron James. All right. Did you already share your quote for the light?
Yes, I did.
So I will share our opening poem by Langston Hughes. Harlem. What happens to a dream deferred? Does it dry up like a raisin in the sun, or fester like a sore and then run? Does it stink like rotten meat, or crust and sugar over like a syrupy sweet? Maybe it just sags like a heavy load, or does it explode? Yeah. Those snaps sound a little busted.
Really? How's that? Maybe I need to put some oil on my fingers.
Oh, the ash bomb is gonna get you. You know, when I read that tonight, I think of Mike Brown. Young Mike Brown, who was killed August 9th, which will be tomorrow, August 9th in 2014, 4 years ago. Seemed like it happened like last year or the year before. And so with Mike Brown, I just think of his story, how he was on his way to electrician school, like that next Monday.
Yeah.
Saturday. He was on his way to electrician school that Monday. And look how his dream was deferred. But he said his mom his mom mentioned that Mike Brown, I have not seen that. No, I did see that documentary. There's another one out, a docuseries for Trayvon Martin and then Victor White, who they said is apparently a Houdini because he killed himself with his hands stuck behind his back. Shot himself in the head with his hands.
Right.
Down in Louisiana. And that documentary is called Sugartown. I have to watch that.
Oh, okay.
Sugartown. But I think of Mike Brown, how he was on his way to electrician school, his dream being deferred, and how many other people, like Trayvon Martin, dream deferred young man. What was he, 17 years of age, 2012, and he was interested in aero engineering, I believe, aero engineering. So dreams deferred. This is why we open up with Langston Hughes, Harlem Dream Deferred. How many dreams have been deferred? But we don't want to just linger and lament on dreams being deferred. We want to either come up with some new dreams or continue pursuing those dreams that you may feel have been deferred. What say you, fellow light?
I said the same. Keep going for it. Yes, even if you're thrown off track, even if you have to switch tracks, I had to switch tracks, but I still stayed steady. I didn't release my dream, my passion, and even though it happened much later in life, it still happened.
Still happen. Okay. And I think that's what we have to do. Just like I said, continue to pursue those dreams. Some people may have become ensnared, or not necessarily ensnared, but you may have decided to have the family and live the family life and not open up that dress shop or that watch shop, that mechanic's shop. Now that the children are away at school, maybe you can look into that.
Right.
Never give up. Luther Vandross. I love Luther Vandross. We should put him down on our list of lyrical.
Yes, I love Luther Vandross.
Having a party, bad boys having a party. So here's a quote. Our aim is to stop the life cycle of the enemy culture and replace it with our own revolutionary culture. This can be done only by creating perfect disorder within the cycle of the enemy culture's life process and leaving a power vacuum to be filled by our building revolutionary. The honorable late great, peace be upon him, George Jackson. So
there. George Jackson.
Brilliant. You know, he was considered one of the most brilliant theorists of his time. Just a theoretical mind, just a brilliant man. Taught himself martial arts while in jail. And see, you know why he was able to do that? While he was held captive, rather, let me say that. While he was held captive, being a victim of war, prisoner of war. You know why he was able to do that, Featherlight? And this is just what I surmise. Because it's envy. It's envy. It comes from African.
It is. It does. It's another stolen art.
just like yoga, we never receive the attribute, the credit, rather that this practice, this lifestyle, rather,
It's organic
to others. No, it's always credited to the Indians. But where did they learn it from? Just like the Greeks. Where did the Greeks learn their philosophy and medicine?
And medicine.
Theories
of
medicine. Where did they learn it from? They learned it from the Africans.
Right.
Traveling over to Africa because people traveled. So people brought their children to Africa for the best schools. Everybody around the world. In the ancient times. So That's my quote, George Jackson. And we decided to share a quote from George Jackson because of this being the month of August, Black August. Specifically, we're talking about Black August. So, did you go ahead on and introduce our close out of the sacral chakra?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. We'll talk about the third one later on.
Yeah.
Right.
Solar plexus. Solar plexus. Okay, so let's run through some of these hot topics quickly, and we're going to move on because, you know, I have to share the opioid effect with everyone. Let's see. I do want to mention this, Featherlight. Robert McCullough, apropos of Mike Brown. Remember, Robert McCullough was the prosecutor, supposed to be the prosecutor in Ferguson. Mm-hmm.
Right.
He was supposed to be prosecuting Darren Wilson.
Right.
For the killing of Mike Brown. Well, exactly. Rob McCullough finally voted the hell out of office. And I promise I wanted to use another explicit word. Another vulgar word. I really did, so I had to contain myself. So that's why I'm fumbling with my speech right now, because I want to say a lot of other words. I mean, I could think of a slew of words. So he's been voted out. This young black man, he's quote unquote a reformer, Wesley Bell, city council member. So Robert McCullough is out. Just like, what was her name? Anita Alvarez.
Right, she got out too. Right.
Voted her ass out in Chicago. Chicago.
Yeah.
Speaking of Chicago, all right, I'm not even going to go into a lot about this.
But wait. Back to McCullough. I wanted to share something.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Okay.
This, let me hold my tongue too. This being served 7 terms. He served 7 terms. He's been in that position since 91. Okay? So my response is, ha 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 ha.
Get your ass out. No, what's her name on Waiting to Exhale? Angela Bassett's character. Get your shit.
This guy who won, Wesley Bell, he went on the Republican ticket, not the Democratic ticket. Republican. Mm-hmm. And we as black people have got to realize that just because somebody is running on the Democratic ticket does not mean that they are going to do good things for black people. Don't go That's by right. that anymore.
Mm-mm.
It's just a title.
It's a trick.
It's just, yes, a very, very big trick that they've been using for decades on blacks. Oh, I'm a Democrat. Oh, let me pull this lever. He's a Democrat. No.
Oh, y'all, Democrat. Vote down ticket. I don't vote down ticket.
All right, that's not my head.
Oh, okay. And so, quickly on Chicago, while we're on Chicago, I want to send out my condolences to those people that were fatally shot in Chicago over the weekend. They were like, I kept hearing different reports, like 77 people were shot in Chicago over the weekend. And I think the last I read was like 11 people may have died, and some were children. So I want to send out my condolences to those families. And then, you know, there have been more reports that there was this truck full of Nike Air Jordans and some Louis Vuittons, those expensive high heels that people like to wear, expensive shoes people like to wear. The truck was just left abandoned with the door ajar, right? Now somebody just left the truck with all of these shoes. And so, of course, this was a trap. To entrap people, to entrap them from the enticement of stealing the shoes. Now, instead of them putting the damn truck, exactly, where the poverty is already where they say like 40% in Inglewood, this is what has happened. Instead of them bringing in a damn community center, you bring in a damn truck. Instead of you bringing in some type of job service or Amazon site or any damn thing, pool, a chess area where people can learn how to play chess. Instead of you doing anything, damn, a petting zoo, you bring in a truck to try to entice people to steal. You dirty, and I have to say, you dirty, wicked, evil sons of bitches. I'm so sick of these people. I know what to do, but goodness Lord, I'm so glad people waking up.
Me too.
That's all I can say, because we have to fight them on so many different levels. Yeah. So people, because they used to do that same old stuff in Memphis back in the 80s. Train come through with all of
right.
these.
Right, she items. Did. Train come through.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, people, when you see all of this, and I heard that some of the activists were warning people that this is a trap, they have a camera. And I heard people even talking about there's a show that shows how they're trapped. But anyway, I really want to send out my condolences to those people. This is what happened in Chicago. Nevertheless, while the police department claims that they have no suspects, I don't know how you don't have any suspects, but you say that it's gang related. Okay. No. When we already know that people in Chicago, including the city council women, a woman a few years ago, said that these are not these so-called gang-related shootings, not all of these are strange people coming into the neighborhood. Some people have even reported that these are people with masks, black face masks,
right.
Like a Halloween mask, like a prosthetic right. mask, rather, not right. Halloween, like a prosthetic mask of a black man, and they come through in these white vans and they spray everybody. And they shoot people sitting on the porch and walking down the street. So anyway, so let's not just say, oh my God, they need to stop all that gang violence. Look, first of all, Chicago always has had a lot of gang violence. That's why all your gangsters that they love to glorify hung out. Chicago and Memphis, Las Vegas. Okay, so anyway, there's a documentary, Featherlight, on Madam C.J. Walker coming out, and I hear that Octavia Spencer has landed that role.
Yes, that's good. Congratulations. Yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm. I will see that. And, you know, we were talking about this one, Beyonce on Vogue. She's using the first African-American photographer for Vogue, and his name is Tyler Mitchell from Atlanta. This is for the highly popular September issue of Vogue. September issue of Vogue is like the issue. When you are on the cover of the September issue of magazines like Vogue, that's like the most popular, top-selling month because of the change of the season and all. Now, right. what I really want to say is, why is he the first African-American photographer for the September issue? That's nothing. I applaud Beyonce. Great. I'm so glad that you are employing people that have been disenfranchised for so long. Wow. Why is this folks first time?
All these years.
Mm-hmm.
It's been out.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 100 and something.
I'll actually have to see how long, but yeah, that's very concerning.
Yeah.
So, I want to mention this Featherlight in relation to Black August. August 21st, there will be hundreds of prisoners, captives nationwide that will refuse to spend money from August 21st through September 9th. And it is requested that people show solidarity by also not spending any money in the prisons on that day. And I think that it's a shame that money has to be spent. These prisoners have to purchase everything that they need, because like we mentioned before, it used to be a time when they were state run. They were providing everything to these prisoners. So how are you going to lock me up on some bull crap capture me and then make me pay for my damn stay.
That's awful.
They run rackets all day long.
All day long.
And they're inhumane rackets.
Vogue has been around since 1892.
And this is your first time having a black person.
25 years. Wow.
Using photography skills of a black person for this September issue. It speaks a lot about Vogue. It speaks volumes, Vogue. I think that needs to be a part of the conversation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why is it taking this? And then, you know, she used her power to do that. It wasn't like, well, why don't we get a black? No, she used her power.
She said, y'all gonna use a black one for me, baby.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Hey, getting who I want in here. She has the power now to be able to command and demand such, request such. So I want to also acknowledge Randy Moss. Again, just like Colin Kaepernick, never heard of Randy Moss until you stood up for something in my world, which is speaking out on the injustice that we endure daily. Randy Moss, he was inducted into the Hall of Fame, NFL Hall of Fame. He wore a tie to the light, honoring victims of war such as Tamir Rice, Sandra Bland. I believe he had Eric Gardner on there. Let me see. Where's this picture here? Let me see here. Let me try to see. Can I see that? You know what? I'm gonna have to go and have an eye test for the light. I need some glasses. Now, my eyes are kind of like papers, just all of a sudden just going down. Everybody, my dog has diabetes, so I need for everybody to just send us some strength. Whew. We're gonna pray very hard for my baby. Let's see. He had people like Eric Gardner on his tie, Tamir Rice, Sandra Bland. And so I just want to acknowledge
Trayvon Martin, Michael Brown, Alton Sterling.
Philando Dickens, Philando Castile,
Freddie Gray, Paul O'Neill,
Akil
Gurley.
And I think this is Greg Gunn.
Yes.
And Paul O'Neill. Yes, so.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yes, I really, really appreciate that. So thank you, Randy Moss, for speaking out through your tie, acknowledging the victims of war. Thank you so much. Never knew you, Randy Moss, but now I do. And I actually followed you on the Twitters just because of that tie. You're making that statement.
Right.
He wanted to let the mothers know that they're not alone. Now, Featherlight, I have to quickly talk about this nail salon incident. I'm not going to go into a lot of details. This was a video that was circulating around on social media. Some of you may have heard of it or viewed the video, but there was a family, a grandmother and her two grandchildren. They went to a nail salon for services. They paid for their pedicures and manicures, all three of them. One of the, I think it was the granddaughter, she was displeased with her eyebrow results and refused to pay the measly $5 that
is charged. She has a right to be displeased.
That's right. And you don't have to pay them. You don't have to pay them. And so these people became so irate that they began to, they became violent and began beating this family. One woman is seen beating the grandchild with a rod. It seems like they're hemming up the grandmother against the wall. Just all kind of madness going on. I mean, they literally beat the granddaughter with the rod outside the door, like she's in India somewhere. Like, oh, we just beat girls and rape them and kill them here. No, bitch, this is America. And I tell you one thing, if that nail salon in the BK, in the Boogie, in Brooklyn, not on fire and not done, or they not out of business, I'm looking at Brooklyn sideways. I did hear that the activists were out there protesting, but damn that damn protest. Damn that. That's assault and battery. And I damn sure hope that their grandmother and granddaughter have filed charges.
Charges, for real.
And you know what? And the reason why I'm saying this place shouldn't even be open because all them bitches should be in jail.
Right.
And the place should
that's
be shut
down.
That's
a battery. Yeah.
And that should be shut down. And anybody trying to go in there and get their nails done need to get a beat down like they gave their grandmother and the granddaughters a beat down. Mm-hmm. You better not go in there. How they say, I wish you would.
I wish you would.
If my baby wasn't sick, I think I'd take a flight up to Brooklyn just to make sure that damn place is out of business and make sure it never reopens.
Never. How dare you?
They need to take a picture of them and make sure, no, don't you open up another store down the street. A lot of y'all look alike anyway, like they used to tell us. So take pictures and make sure they don't open up another nail salon down the street when that one goes out of business. So I just wanted to mention that feather light because it was horrible watching that. And I know we don't like to be morbid, but I just hope that the message gets to them to A, file those charges. I hope they already done that. I didn't get a chance to check to see was there any update. And number two, that business should never be open on that block again. In fact, not in Brooklyn, period.
I agree. Their business should be done. Done here, done. Total.
Done. Pack it up, go, it's a wrap. It's about. Okay. So, any thoughts,
Featherline,
before we go into the opioid?
You know, I don't. I've said all I have to say about that.
Okay. So, opioid factoid. Tonight we're going to talk just a little bit about fentanyl. Okay. So, this information tonight is coming from the Fentanyl Frontline CSC document. So this is in British Columbia. Remember how we mentioned that we were going to branch out of places like West Virginia and Ohio just to show you the octopus-like reach and hands, rather, of this opioid epidemic, how it's going all around the world, how it is all around the world. So this is a documentary that focuses on the addicts in British Columbia. So in 2017, this documentary, over 900 people fatally OD on just one paramedic's shift, Featherline. 900 people.
900 people?
Yes, just on his shift. He's just given an account on his shift for 1 year. Okay. 900 people. So he says the most stressful part of the job is getting to the OD scene because you just never know what you may run into, what you may be faced with. Mm-hmm. And what happens in British Columbia gets really cold. And so the biggest, the deadliest mistake that a user can do is use alone. They apparently not supposed to use alone because you could OD, right? So what happens is when it gets cold, and during the colder months, like from September to on into February, mm-hmm. a lot of the addicts, they're not out on the street shooting up or doing their drugs like they could possibly do, like they, I guess, normally do during mm-hmm. the warmer months. But they go into shelter, like a bathroom or something, at a train station or subway or a restaurant or something. And so what happens is they go in these stalls and then they OD. Because they're trying to shoot up. Oh my goodness gracious. Listen, people. Like we said, drink a glass of wine if you must. But all of these drugs, these harsh, deadly drugs, this fentanyl, all you need is a pin needle of that mixed in your hair on. And it can kill you, but you know what? The people like the fentanyl. They actually prefer the fentanyl. That's why I said, that's why I contend that some of these addicts have gone beyond the feeling of just the ordinary feeling of euphoria that they may can achieve just by shooting up. Now they've escalated this high to dying and coming back. Because otherwise, why would you keep doing that? And they say they can't help it. No, I really think I think you can't help it. I think you can't help it, but I also think that many of you enjoy that feeling of dying and being revived. And I know it sounds outlandish. I know it does. But again, trust me, why is it then when they find out that, when these addicts find out that someone OD'd on this particular brand or whatever that the drug dealer's selling, everybody shoots over there to him. Give me that. Give me that what she just OD'd on. What the hell? Okay. Yeah. So anyway, moving right along, I think that's all I have to say on the opioid effect for it. You want to go into love the body, or should we just go on to our top, like, office topic?
Let me do a couple of quick facts on water. Water, a lot of people take it for granted, just like breathing, but it's very important. It's several things that water is beneficial for, and many people may not be aware of it. It promotes healthy weight management and weight loss. You drink a couple of glasses of water before a meal, and you're less likely to gain weight rather than eating a basket full of bread. It also flushes out your toxins in your body, and it prevents kidney stones. It protects you against urinary tract infections. Think of toxins as boats floating through your body, okay? And water is the river. So don't let the water level drop, or the toxins may get stuck and cause harm to your body. So it is very, very important to make sure that you get the proper amount of water. It does so much more for you than you think. Water also prevents headaches, because your brain has a certain amount, it needs a certain amount of water. I believe it's like 77%. And when it begins to, when you begin to dehydrate, that causes some issues in your brain, your scalp, it begins to pull away from your anyway, it becomes tight, and that is what causes the headache. That's what causes your head to hurt. Being hydrated just 2% impairs your performance that requires psychomotor and immediate memory skills. Dehydration affects your mood. It reduces your cognitive and motor skills, and it makes you more sensitive to pain, actually. So when you begin to feel these dehydration symptoms, grab a glass of water quickly. Okay? You lose about, you lose about 90 ounces is good for women to drink, and which is about 11 cups, and 124 ounces, which is about 16 cups, is good for men. So it's really, really important that you keep your body hydrated. You lose about 64 ounces of water a day, and 16 ounces of this comes from your feet alone. Most of it goes unnoticed. So drink your water, people. Drink your water. Hydrate your body. It affects you much, much more than you think.
Yes.
That's all I wanted to share.
And make sure you drink at least a cup of water as soon as you wake up in the morning.
Yes. To cleanse your system. It actually increases brain power. Drink water. Because your brain is saying water, right? And it helps you focus. It helps you concentrate. And it helps you stay alert.
Well, I have my water right next to me right now, Featherlight. Now, I am just so glad that I have this water here.
Yeah, yeah. It causes your brain to pull away from your skull. That's what I was trying to say. When it becomes dehydrated, it causes your brain to pull away from your skull and causes the pain that you feel. And it results in a headache because your brain is 73% water. So.
I just took a sip of my water, too. So that's what's happening when I'm having if I have a headache, so my brain is pulling away from my skull.
Right.
And I remember Bobby D. Gregory used to say that, and I think Dr. Layla Africa also. Whenever you get a headache, drink some water, and that's the first thing I do before I take that BC. Normally, I'll have a headache a day before I'll take a BC. It has to linger with me for about 24 hours because I'll just say, oh, okay, I'm dehydrated. Let me drink some water. Let me just drink water all day. Mm-hmm. I just took another sip of water. Thanks. So,
that's my other body.
Thank you for sharing that. Give you some different snaps for that. So, let's talk a little bit about Black August right before we go to break, shall we?
Okay.
Let's see. So, Black August, and this is coming from a mixture of articles and reports. So most of this, though, comes from what we'll share tonight about Black August, comes from San Francisco Bay View. And this is an article that was written by Brother Camus Asakari. And he is a part of the New African Black Family Unity and Advancement Foundation. And let's see, the brother is imprisoned. I'm trying to find, in California. Okay. And after you finish going through some of this, we'll share his information if you would like to reach out to the brother, because during the month of August, that's something that is suggested for us to reach out to those political prisoners. All right, so Black August, should be embraced across the Americas as a commemorative month that focuses on the history and the present-day resistance against the violence of the state and capital, as well as the liberation agenda being pursued. Black August had its origin in the penal colonies of California in the early 1970s. It started in prison as a way to acknowledge the political and militant struggles of politicized New African or African American prisoners before, and those who were martyred in the process of fighting the prison system.
Black August was used to mark the death of revolutionaries such as George Jackson, William Christmas, James McLean, Jonathan Jackson, and Kotari Gulden, who were killed in prison during the armed attempt at liberating African prisoners at the Marin County Courthouse. This commemorative month was used to politicize fellow prisoners and build their capacity to engage in the struggle for emancipation. These politically conscious prisoners represented the prison front of the Black Liberation Movement.
I remember when I was friends with Brother Bobby and all of them, and that's how I had the opportunity. We had the opportunity, Featherlight, to meet Brother Big Man.
Right.
He's one of the founding members of the Black Panther Party in California. Mm-hmm. But Bobby was a member of the BLM. No, he was a member of the BLA and the BLM. Okay, so in 1979, the BLM adopted and institutionalized Black August as a fixture of the movement's annual calendar of events. In its broader context, Black August serves as a month-long period to bring attention to significant or momentous Black radical tradition events that occurred in August. The month of August is linked to many important and defining moments in the liberation struggle of Africans in the United States and elsewhere, or diasporic Africans. And we will share some of those significant days tonight and throughout the month of August.
Black August concept was ignited by events of August 1st, 1978, whereupon our beloved comrade Jeffrey Joko Kotari Golden, the torchbearer of comrades W.L. Nolan, George L. Jackson, and Stephen Hasumu Browning, sustained a head injury while playing football with his comrades on San Quentin State Prison's Adjustment Center exercise yard. And due to San Quentin prison officials and medical staff's intentional lack of medical treatment, it resulted in the death of our beloved Joko Kotari.
And, you know, for the light, just in listening to some of the accounts of that day, one of the captives stated that as he tried to walk, or as he proceeded, rather, because he didn't stop, as he proceeded to try to help those brothers that had been attacked and shot, the guards with the guards with the snipers would point at them and said, don't you go near him. But he said he just kept on walking. He just thought any minute they would shoot him down.
Wow. Okay. You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of when the enslaved were hung and their family members were prevented from taking them down.
Yes, yes.
To hang there for them, let them see.
For days. And you could not bring their body down until they told you to. Wow. And that is what, just to go back to my ground for a moment, and that is what really angered so many of us, especially us that have that knowledge of lynchings. That's what angered us so much. We're like, you mean to tell me y'all just leaving this body out there tormenting us like this?
And the family
just tormenting us.
Yeah.
Right. All damn day long.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, that stains your brain. It stays with you.
And that is what it is meant to do.
That is what it is meant to do. That's why, what do they do on these so-called cop shows and detective shows? They never want the family to come near the body. No, you don't want to see them like that. You don't want that to be the last sight of them.
Bye.
But why would you force us to see that?
Yeah.
Why would you force us to see that child dead in the middle of the street like that?
Blood all on the street. It was a while before they even covered him up.
And I remember that day like it was last week. It started, the stepfather actually, started posting on Instagram that his son had been shot here. Ooh, I'm just thinking about it. Ferguson. So there are four specific dates during the month of Black August, also known as Wisi Agosti, designated as flea days, and that's flea just like a flea market, just a flea market, FLEA. And those dates are the 1st of August, the 7th, the 13th, and the 21st, for the precise purpose of honoring and giving tribute to the selfless sacrifices and heroic deeds of those freedom fighters who died at the hands of tormentors. So Black August, for August the 1st, rather, 1978, in honor and tribute to Jeffrey Jakar Kotari Golden. 1945.
Black August the 7th, 1970, in honor of the armed action at the Marin County Civic Center, in tribute to Manchild Jonathan P. Jackson, James D. McLean, and William Christmas.
Mm-hmm. And if you have not seen any of the pictures of them at the courthouse with the shotgun taped to the judge's head, oh my goodness, Google those. Just Google Soledad Brothers and you'll see all kinds of pictures. Marin County shootout. Those brothers were brave. Now, those were some brave brothers back in the day.
They sure were.
Break up in the courthouse, come up in the courthouse with shotguns like, here's one for you. And then one of the, let me see, was the, oh gosh, I can't think of the brother's name right now. The brother that, when Jonathan came in, he threw a shotgun at him. He caught the gun. And then another brother went and released the other brothers that were supposed to testify. I mean, they did that shit. Do you hear me? They didn't just come in there and just pow, pow, pow. It was like, look, here's your gun. Now you go and release them. They released those brothers, although Jonathan was killed. But still, damn it. Revolution can be bloody. Okay.
Yeah.
At least they tried. And we're talking about it right now today.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
So, yeah. All right, let's see, where are we?
August 21st, 1971, in honor and proud tribute to Dragon comrade George Lester Jackson, assassinated during what was described by prison crats as some sort of elaborate escape attempt.
Yeah, whatever. Also, Black August 13th, 1970, in honor of our African spirit for tonight, W.L. Nolan. He actually was the one that influenced George Jackson. He was assassinated. Let's see. Okay, let me go back. W.L. Nolan, and in tribute to Alvin Fig Miller and Cleveland Edwards, assassinated during the racial melee by racist prison guards on Soledad State Prison's newly opened and integrated O-Wing exercise yard. And see, what George Jackson would write about is how the prison guards would unlock the cells of the black prisoners, which would make them vulnerable to attacks by the Nazis and all the KKK white prisoners. And they would throw feces at them. And the guards would allow them to throw feces at them. And so this is part of what they were protesting, how the guards were endangering their lives. You're supposed to be a guard or a correction officer. That's why I could never have that job. Never. So, in the many years since the time of its inception, the Black August concept has morphed to encompass other significant individuals and moments in new African history in America, with emphasis being placed upon historical persons and events which have occurred during the month of August. Featherlight, let's take a quick break and we'll come right back and we'll pick back up on some of our Black August on to our next topic for tonight, because we'll continue talking about Black August throughout the month of August. So you are tuned in to the Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show. Be sure to follow us on the BTRs. Join the BTR community for only $24 a year. And you can join several different groups, including the Mind, Body, and Spirit group. You can join the Preppers Corner. You can join Black Film Study Group. Make sure you join the TRs. Follow us on the Twitters. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio, new black media for the new millennium.
Welcome back to the Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show. And let's see, Featherlight. Namaste. Let me share a quote, Featherlight.
Okay,
wise words being quoted. At the risk of quoting Mephistopheles, I repeat, welcome to hell, a hell erected and maintained by human governments and blessed by black robe judges. A hell that allows you to see your loved ones and not touch them. A hell situated in America's boondocks, hundreds of miles away from most families. A white rural hell where most of the captives are black and urban. And it's an American way of death. Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Yes. Okay. Powerful. I want that to sink in. I will not follow that with the quote. It's deep. Very deep. Well, I would like to do a short spoken word in honor of our political prisoners, past and present. And it is called You Told Me I Was Free.
You told me I was free.
So I am going to, I've got several characters here, and I'm going to breathe in the spirit of our ancestors on this. This is in honor of our ancestors and our political prisoners today. I was enslaved on a plantation for years and years. My ancestors were taken by force and brought to this faraway land for free labor. My clothes, my quarters, my comings and goings were dictated by others. I was told when to go to bed, when to rise, and when to eat. I was fed slop, unfit for an animal, and my free time, if there was such a thing, was restricted. My everyday labor was for the profit and greed of others, and I was beaten, raped, and punished at will, with no consequences at all to my offenders. And I dare not raise a hand in defense of even my child, though I would surely be put to a horrible and merciless death. I was property. I had no rights and no free will. My life was not my own. And then there was a war to which I was invited. I was also the prize to the winner. I was given a gun, yet treated like an animal. What an irony this was. It was a bloody, bloody war, yes, sir. Lasted for some time, that war, and many lost their lives on both sides. And when it was finally over, they said I was free. Free to do what? To work and get paid? To own my own children and wife? To be on my own home, on my own land? I get land? I can buy my own food? I can even learn to read in the daytime? Slavery is no more? Sound the alarm. I'm free. Fast forward 150 years. In the spirit world, I hear there's a new slavery in this land. It's called the prison industrial complex, ancestor. Dead slave. Laws have been created to fill these prisons mostly with people who look like me. Some of us are here for life, and no bodily harm was inflicted on anybody. My clothes, my quarters, my comings and goings, man, dictated by somebody else. I'm told when to go to bed, when to get up, and when to eat. I'm fed slop unfit for an animal. And my so-called free time, if I'm not in the hole, is a joke. My everyday labor is for the profit and greed of others. I'm beaten, raped, and punished at will, and everybody gets paid to look the other way. When I try to defend myself, I get another 10 slapped on my time. Endless time. I have no rights and no free will. I'm still enslaved on the plantation. You told me I'm...
You lied.
I was really trying to snap really, really vigorously for that one, because of life.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes. Oh, my goodness. You told me I was free. And how can you be free when you are caged?
That's true.
Oh, you didn't like the background music?
It was a little loud.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I just, oh, my apologies. Okay, well, thank you. So now I know how to adjust it. Mm-hmm. So what inspired you to write that one, Feather Light? You told me I was free. What is that
called? When the abolitionists went to Washington to fight for the prison reform last year.
Mm-hmm.
That's what came to my mind. It's like, okay, our ancestors were enslaved back on the plantation years and years ago, and then you said, oh, the Emancipation Proclamation, everybody's free. But they're not. They're not. I mean, slavery is still here. So I was making the comparison as to the slave, the enslaved back on the plantation when slavery was legal, and to the present time when they say it's not legal, but it is, and it's still under the same principles. I was making the comparison of the principles. You tell them what to eat, when to go to bed, what to wear, the whole thing. It's identical. Okay? It's identical. It's still a slavery system. So that's where that thought came from.
It's is
just
definitely
another name.
Slavery by
millions
another name.
Millions for Prisoners, Human Rights was the name. Thank you.
Yes, Millions for Prisoners, Human Rights. So, goodness gracious, like Scotty says, we need more abolitionists. We really do. We really do. And I was listening to the brothers talk earlier tonight on Abolitionist, New Abolitionist Radio on Black Talk Radio Network. And like Scotty said, people are talking about abolishing ICE. Why not abolish these for-profit prisons?
Right. Right. Did you know that Bob Barker of what little game show did he have? Price is Right. Yes, he has the biggest. So he is the biggest supplier of prison supplies: the uniforms, the soap, the whatever they need.
Well, because he's dead, isn't he? Bob Barker does. So
I don't know if he's dead. That's company.
His company.
Company. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and it's been around for a long time.
Gracious. That's something. So it must be his family's company.
Mm-hmm. It's been around for a long time.
You know, I never really liked Bob Barker.
I didn't either. I don't like game shows in the first place.
Well, I had to watch them with my granny. But I know. It was something about him. He seemed creepy.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
And I think there was sexual assault allegations brought forward, allegedly. So, I mean, I'm not sure if Bob Barker, he did seem kind of something about him. All his old butt with all those young models. You know, he was doing some Me Too stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Some Me Too stuff. You know, he was doing some Me Too stuff. I was thinking, Feather, like maybe we could just, let's see, maybe we could share the tenets of Black August, and then we could just conclude the Black August topic and move on to our next topic. What do you think?
Okay.
All right, so some of the tenets, all right.
Okay.
Let's go through some of the tenets for Black August. Let me just get to that. Tenets. All right. So Don Holliday, who was a comrade of George Jackson in prison in Illinois, these are some of the tenets he developed. So there's a fast. So during those 31 days, people have a system of fasting. And you can always Google Black August fast. You Google Black August. If you follow, what's the brother's name on Instagram? Haki Shakur. How can I forget that? Haki Shakur, and he has a blog spot. You can always follow him. He gives a very detailed report or he details Black August very well. Goes through the history and the Flea days. So there's a fast that takes place, and it's usually like from sunrise until evening, like 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. And you can, of course, like we said, Google much of this information that we'll share. Okay. And the next tenet, Featherlight?
We abstain from consuming any type of intoxicants for the entire month of August. The necessity for this should be self-evident for all serious participants of Black August. We limit our selection of television and radio to educational programs, for instance, like news and documentaries and cultural programs.
Absolutely, okay. And I have been practicing that to an extent. And I know one night I was going to watch something. I said, well, you know what? Let me at least look at a documentary. Something about Black August. Just some more research or something. Okay. So during BA or Black August, political and cultural studies is emphasized. It is suggested to pair off with someone else you know to study with, and both of you share knowledge with each other. Have a conversation about Black August. Start a discussion. I was thinking of a discussion that we could start on the MBS page, on the BTRs, Featherlight. So we'll have a discussion around Black August. Okay. And last one.
We abstain from consuming any type of... Oh, I said that already. Yeah. As an outward expression of Black August, you could wear a black armband on the left arm or wrist as a tribute to those Africans who have died as a result of their sacrifice for African liberation. The armband could be worn either on the inside or the outside of your clothing.
All right. So those are some of the tenets of Black August. You can always Google more about Black August. And as we stated, we'll continue talking about Black August. Share some of those significant dates. All right. So our next topic, Featherlight, for tonight, we are going to talk about how to protect our children. Child protection.
Yes. Let me share some facts first, stats on child trafficking. Child trafficking is a $32 billion a year industry. I didn't even know it was an industry, but it's an industry. Human trafficking is on the rise in all 50 states. There are 20.9 million victims of trafficking worldwide. Black Rose, what are you doing?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I had my mic turned off.
No, there are 20.9 million victims of trafficking worldwide as of 2012. 4.5 million trafficked persons are sexually exploited. Up to 300,000 Americans under 18 are lured into the commercial sex trade every year. They come from all backgrounds, include girls and boys, and span a wide age range from age one to 18. Children are trafficked out of or into the U.S. from all regions of the world and represent a variety of different races, ethnic groups, and religions. Of every three child victims, two are girls and one is a boy. Human trafficking has surpassed the illegal sale of arms and is predicted to surpass the illegal sale of drugs in the next few years. It is really, really growing. Drugs are used once and they're gone. Victims of child trafficking can be used and abused over and over and over. Protect your children. You hear about this in the news and you, for some reason, people don't think, the average person doesn't think that can happen to their child. It can happen to anyone's children. It's not delegated to any particular type, ethnic group, or anything. It can be from age 1 to 18. So teach your children about people who steal children. They need to know so they will be on alert and not caught blindsided. They'll be on the lookout for suspicious people with children who have a pleading look in their eyes. They may have been kidnapped. If you see somebody and you see a little child, it looks, you know, has this look in their eyes, you know, they may be kidnapped and afraid to say something. So, I mean, even I, I'm like I said before, I'm a very, very friendly person. I was 15 and somebody just walked up to my yard, started asking me about how to get somewhere. And I was not suspicious at all. And I was kidnapped. So we just need to let children know, let them be prepared. And we try to protect them, but still we have to let them know it's some monsters out there. So here are a list of ruses that I know about because I watch Criminal Minds. I want to know about people out there.
I mean, it's educational for me.
Yes, it is very educational. I don't watch it for fun. I don't usually watch news because it's so gruesome and horrible. But this, I need to know the types of people that are out there.
They're psychosis.
Impersonating human beings, you know?
Oh my God.
Yes. So there's a person with a leash and no dog calling the dog's name, looking worried. That's a ruse. Buster! Buster! And then a child says, "You're looking for your dog?" Yes, he ran away. That's a ruse. Let your child know that is a ruse.
And you know what, Featherline? I have to be honest with you. Me being a doggy lover, a pet lover like that, I would fall for that.
Yeah.
I would definitely, I'd be like, oh my God, like what? But see, one thing about me, and see, that's one thing about Black people, period. We don't go all off into the wooded areas and stuff. Like, I don't even see how people jog through all of these wooded areas and mountains and all. I don't do all of that. That's where the psychos are.
That's where they are.
You know, they pull you into the trees and the bushes and then down into some man cave that they dug out in a hole somewhere.
Right, yeah.
I don't do that. I don't even know too many Black people that it would even consider that. We're always spooked out. And it's probably just in our DNA because we know how they used to take us to the wooded areas and lynch us.
Right.
That's probably why. We just don't do all of that. Not too many of us. I mean, there are some people that, you know, have that, that real country background. But like nowadays, I'm not trying. I don't trust any of these people. I don't care what color they are. I'm not living in the wooded areas. Okay. But I would definitely fall for that. So I'm so glad that this is listed, Feather and Light.
Yes.
So person struggling with bags, looking needy, they may appear as if they're handicapped. Okay. And a nice, innocent child. Oh, sir, I'll help you. Oh, ma'am, I'll help you. And then sir jumps out and pulls you into the white van. Remember that white van? Mm-hmm. Was coming through the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. So, everybody was suspicious of a white van. But that's a good one, too. Especially if you got a kind heart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So in large crowds, stay within eyesight of your child. Let the child make sure that they're staying within eyesight of you or with a buddy. I bought a whistle a few years ago. Like I'm out walking. Mm-hmm. You may want to use a whistle. You may want to buy a whistle for your child and say, here, you know, wear this. If anybody grabs you or anything, blow the hell out of this whistle. I mean, it may sound funny to some people, but it's a lot of bad things that are happening out there, and we may not always hear about it. You remember all those children that were kidnapped in Atlanta, and they blamed it on this black guy?
What was his name? Wayne somebody?
Yeah, Wayne somebody.
Okay, so also, you know what? Staying within eyesight, I would say for these young babies, you need to just hold their hand. Their hand. Do not let them out of your sight.
They'll hold the phone quicker than they'll hold the child's hand. I see a lot of that.
Remember we used to talk about that, and we would say, you know what, you act like you want somebody to steal that baby. You about damn near half a mile ahead of the little two-year-old baby just trying to keep up, about to have a heart attack, trying to keep up with the mom. You know what I'm saying? It's like, are you serious? You just want to knock them in the head like, you need to watch this baby. I could have had this baby like a long time ago.
Right. They wouldn't even see them taking the child. They would just look around and be nobody, nothing.
Yeah, they wouldn't even notice it until they got home and got ready to go to bed. You know what I'm saying? Because I've seen them get in the car and say, you better hurry up. You better come on. They're like, well, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to leave you here at the mall. Oh, my God. Anyway, so a person with a dog encouraging a child to play with it, usually a puppy.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bruise.
Yeah. A person who has been stalking a child pulls up and frantically states that their parent has been in an accident and to come with them, and they will take them to the hospital. That works for a lot of children, because you're frightened, you're scared, you're like, oh, what happened to my mom? Come on, I'll take you to, they sent me to get you. And they're not thinking. So you should let your child know, do not go with anybody that you don't know. If something happens to me, I will send somebody that's in our family, not a stranger.
Children playing a game and a stalker who may have been friendly to them before comes up and asks if they can play. If they're very friendly. This could be a man or a woman, young or old. There's no man. So tell the children to be on the alert for people like that. Leery of them.
Okay, this is someone asking for directions, like they did with me, or any questions to a child when no grown-up is around. Do not have a conversation with another grown-up unless your parent is around. They're asking you questions or directions. Make sure your grown-up is around.
Make sure grown-up is around. Anyone who's extra friendly, Feather Light. Like if a child falls and hurt themselves and the adult comes, and that adult just always seems to be there and they're so helpful.
Right. Beware
of
them.
They're just scared. Watch people like that.
Stress to children No adult is allowed to touch them without permission. Touch them anywhere, specifically in those special places, but really to touch them without permission. You know, because sometimes they will just kind of gently touch them on the shoulder. Mm-hmm. And the next thing you know, with the hug. Right. Mm-hmm. So no adult. Let your children know that no adult is allowed to touch them, period, without permission.
Absolutely. And if the adult says, oh, it's okay, and then the child should be ready to say, yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. Knowing that's exactly what my mom and dad told me that this person will say. Let mm-hmm. me make sure that I exit here safely and report this immediately to my parents.
Right.
To the nearest adult that you trust.
Internet chat.
The internet chat, Featherlight. Oh, my goodness. So many of these young people
they're so social savvy.
They're social savvy. They're into social media.
Yeah, and it's so heavy. Yes.
These different sites.
Right. So be aware of people who reach out and tells you nice, wonderful things about yourself. Like I like the way you do this, and I like the way you sound. They sound so perfect, or they're very complimentary, and they want to meet you, but keep it a secret. It's our little secret.
No, it's not our little secret.
Yes. It's estimated that 76% of transactions for sex with underage girls start on the internet.
Yeah. These people, they take pictures of you. Be especially aware of anyone requesting to see parts of their body on camera or send a pic. And many of these young people, they're in, not even just young people, some older people too, but we're talking about protecting your children. People engage in all of this sexting where you're sending sexy pictures of yourself or new photos or videos or body parts. People will post these different pictures. That's why I do not like to have my face floating around social media a lot, because people will, they will Photoshop some pictures.
Yep.
Have you in all kinds of.
Yeah. Whew, they will say situation. They will say things like, you sound really nice. Send me a picture of you. I want to see what you look like. It sounds innocent. But that picture of the child, like 13, 14, 15, whatever, they will post that on different sites where people are buying children. Mm. And they'll say, I've got this one, you know. And the next thing you know, like you said, that picture is floating all over. Talk to your child about inappropriate internet conversations and tell them why. Explain to them. Don't try to be so secretive. I mean, you have to be open with your children. Let them know about the dangers that are out there. Someone can take them away and they will never see them again. It's better to be safe. Mm-hmm. Yes. Have that conversation.
And I would also say, just to conclude this, enroll your children in self-defense classes.
Ah, yes.
Make certain that they are active and they know how to at least execute some simple self-defense tactics. I remember taking a self-defense class just quickly. And I hope that, you know, radio is theater of the mind, and I hope that people can visualize this. If someone approaches you and they grab you by the neck, this is what this kung fu artist taught. Okay, so envision someone trying to choke you, like they're trying to choke you and pull you down. You tighten your neck and lengthen it, and you make this face. So when you're tightening, Featherlight, your neck and your face, just imagine you're stretching your chin and your head away from your neck, and you're pulling the corners of your mouth all the way back. In doing that, it's actually going to create some space in between your neck and the person's hands that are choking you.
Ah, I just did that. I see.
You just did it? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And also, not only that, this has a double impact. That ugly face that you're making, that's going to shock the person.
It is. Yeah, I can see.
Yeah. Because they're going to be like, what the hell? And that's how he described it to us. And he went around to each one of us, right? But yeah, that's just like something really easy that you can actually go out and where you can teach your child that, or just use that as a self-defense tactic. Someone coming to you choking you, you do that, squeeze up your neck and your face and all that, and they're gonna look at you like, damn, what's happened? They may think you're getting ready to bust out into an alien or something like that. And see, that'll scare them away.
Right.
And just start making some ugly sounds or crazy sounds like, huh? Yeah, Joe, I'm gonna get the ice cream. Oh yeah. Joe. Mm-hmm. Just start talking to someone. Okay. So yes, we do have some time for Tantra Feather Light because we're going to take this quick break and we are going to come right back with our African Spirit Quickly and Feather Light. I think we do have some time for Tantra because, you know, people want to hear about some sex, at least a little bit about Tantra.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
All right, here at the Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show tonight, we are honoring for our African Spirit, Comrade W.L. Nolan. And W.L. Nolan was a beautiful brother. He was one of the founders of the Black Liberation Movement in the California prison system, along with, again, Comrade Brother George Jackson. He was instrumental in shaping and molding the exemplary model of undaunting resistance that many of us New Africans now find ourselves in today. Honoring W.L. Nolan for our African Spirit here at Mind, Body, and Spirit.
Jazz.
So do we have some time to go into a little bit of Tantra?
We'll start, I guess. Okay, so The Art of Tantric Sex by Nitya LaCroix, and The Art of Conscious Loving by Charles and Carolyn Moore are my sources for this information. We are going to share with you about tantric sex. Now, it's interesting to note that the chakra system came out of the tantric philosophy. Tantra teaches that the body is sacred, and the senses can bring enlightenment, ecstasy, and joy. It is for this reason Westerners often equate Tantra with sexual practice, although Tantric philosophy is far wider in scope and includes a combination of practices. Sexual union is only a minor part. And Tantra, let me just explain a little bit about Tantra before we get into the sex part. Tantra is a science and can be practiced by anyone. It's not devoted to any religion, ethnicity, or any other distinction. It's an elaborate spiritual practice that is used as a path to a higher consciousness and enlightenment. Its origin is from India, so they say, in the 59th century AD, but can be practiced anywhere in the world. So tonight we'll focus on the sexual practices of the art of Tantra. Tantric sex is more of an art than an act, and it is considered sacred. It is about showing... audience, if you have any young children around, we're talking about sex, and you may want to shoo them off to bed. This is adult conversation. It's about showing and exchanging energies, more from our spirits than from our genitals. It's about showing, slowing things down, trying not to focus on our external bodies or trying to reach an orgasm or anything outside of our experience in the moment. Without a focus on orgasm, sex becomes more about exchanging pleasures and awakening the senses and allowing couples to communicate on deep physical and emotional levels. Both parties are satisfied and fulfilled, and the woman is being satisfied first. First, this is very important in tantric. There is no shyness, no inhibitions, no judgment, and there's a release of old taboos. No hiding the body, no jumping up under the sheets and switching off the lights and all of that mess. It's very open, and it's about loving yourself. It's about playfulness. It's about role playing. It's about amorous settings. The lights and the oil.
I love amorous settings.
Strawberries and the
seductive setting.
Whipped cream and honey. Lots of touching. Lots of foreplay. Lots of foreplay. Massages and the yoni massage. Now, the yoni is the vagina, and that's what it's called in the tantric society. I like that much better. Yoni. So you give the yoni massage, which is very, very, very beneficial in more ways than one. It's also a healing practice. For someone who's been sexually molested, a yoni massage really releases a lot of inhibitions. And it's not just the yoni that is massaged. It's the whole body. It starts at the neck, and it works its way all the way down to the yoni. It's self-pleasuring baths, feeding one another, and finally, penetration. Penetration is after all of that. And then after penetration and you've reached the heights of enjoyment and fulfillment, instead of rushing away to take a shower or turning over or falling asleep instantly without touching, they're spooning, the mingling of your love juices, which is very, very powerful, especially for the man receiving the female's fluids. This is a loving energy, and it's powerful. The nutrients in the fluids of the woman is very, very powerful for the man.
The exchange of energy. I remember there was an artist in Memphis that painted a picture of a man and a woman face to face, and it was like they were connected through penetration, and with that connection, there were these sparks of energy, vibrant colors that represented the sparks of energy of the male and female union in that way. Mm. It was beautiful. What I glean from this feather light is when we're speaking about tantra, we're not just speaking about penetration, just kiss, kiss, lick, lick, and then penetration. It's more to the sexual encounter than that, really connecting. And I think in order to connect like that, you have to take some time and really get to know a person, feather light, and talk to them and talk about these different acts that you may want to experience, or the type of love making, or the type of energy connection that the two people would have during a sexual encounter. I'm trying to keep it not as vulgar, so to keep it in a tantric.
To go to bed.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. So, with the busy life of couples today, Featherlight, today, many holding down multiple jobs, sex often takes a back seat. So, quite often we tend to maybe rush through sex, or some people may even plan sex. I've even seen like a movie, and it's like the couples, they pull out their calendar and say, okay, so sex on Friday, sex on Wednesday.
Right.
Like, yeah, you're so busy, you have to like actually write in sex. Have sex with my spouse. My goodness. Sometimes you just have sex, just spontaneous sex. I love spontaneity, baby. Surprise me in a lovely way. So, as you mentioned, a yoni massage is often part of the sacred union and can be healing. It's enjoyable. It can be with or without an orgasm. A woman's sexual happiness and fulfillment is paramount. So, pleasing the woman, and I can speak for that, Feather. Like, if you please me, if I have that glow, I'll make sure you have that glow also.
Right. Make me happy, I'll make you ecstatic.
Yes, yes, because men know, you know, once they release, then they're like, ugh. Many of them, they fall asleep or they need all this time to rejuvenate themselves. And it's like, listen, recharge. The moment is over. So there's an exchange of roles, giving the female partner the freedom to express herself. Express yourself. And
both in the active and passive positions.
Oh, yes.
Right. So switching roles is very important.
Yeah. Very important. And so with Tantra Featherlight, I know you mentioned about the role playing. I wanted to say I would love to experience role playing.
Yes, because we are very good actors, you and I. We could, like,
yeah.
You've been a bad boy. I'm going to give you a
thank you. Bad. And touch. What say you about touch?
Yes, yes. Touch is very important in tantric sex. A massage should never be used to manipulate a sexual situation. However, if there is mutual consent, the occasion can be an exquisite prelude to lovemaking for both partners. When given a yoni massage, no penetration is involved. Don't get too happy. You know, it's about the massage. It's about the massage. No penetration yet. It involves massaging the woman's full body, including the yoni, inside and out. And this is part of the foreplay. Like role playing. Like feeding each other strawberries. Any other kind of good, delicious, arousing foods. There are many different positions to enjoy in tantric sex. It's not just the, you know, the two or three that Westerners do. It's so many positions. Woo! But keep in mind that the essence of Tantra is less about technique and more about harmony and love.
Harmony and love, yes.
Yes.
It's about harmony and love.
So there are like four stages. There's the preparation. You got to get the setting, the amorous setting, your candles, your oils, your different little foods that you're going to feed each other. Got to get some nice music, like Marvin Gaye's Sexual Healing. Textures like feathers or something that, you know, that you can use on the body, something that makes your body feel good, feathers or just anything that's texture. Lighting. You want the lighting to be right. I keep a red light bulb.
Of course, nice.
Yes, I do. I have a couple. And then there's you. You know, you've got to, you know, make yourself look very appealing.
Yes.
See-through negligee, or you can go simple. Just have on a your man's big white shirt and nothing underneath, and you have a few buttons, you know, just a few. Just get a little peekaboo, or you can have an apron on, and no underwear, high heel shoes. Garter belt, stocking. I mean, hey, it's role playing. It's fun. Make it fun. Okay.
A garter belt and nothing else on, but he is.
Yes, yes. Then there's the, that's the preparation. Then there's the foreplay. You can take a bath together because, you know, you might want to do a little tongue foo, you know. Playing with your, so take a bath together. Eye gazing, looking at each other, stroking, consensual spanking. Now there are a lot of nadis, like their nadis are energy channels in your buttocks. And so that's why people like the spanking, the ones who do, because it arouses those sleeping energies, channels that are lying dormant that never, you know, get any action. So that adds a little bit more to the arousal of sex.
Yes. So,
that's nice. And of course, you know, there's the actual sex, and then there's, you know, spooning. These are things to avoid: red meat, alcohol, and mushrooms. Steer away from those because they induce lethargy and dull the senses, and they also cause negative emotions. I didn't realize that.
Well, I can see that from the red meat, but I wasn't aware of that with the mushrooms. Okay. So there's penetration, of course, is mentioned. So that's the union of the lingam, which is the male phallus, and the yoni. So tantra teaches the male to gain control over his normally involuntary ejaculation process. Right. So that way, both partners can enjoy. And we know that this may be something that people have an issue with, but that's okay, because when you are with someone that you have a connection with, you have a foundation other than just nothing. You just met this person and you really don't know them, and it's just sex, because that's the thing. Tantra is more than just sex.
Right.
So, so tantra lovemaking can last for hours. It can last for hours. I remember I mentioned to this person I was involved with, Featherlight, about tantra, exploring tantra, and I really didn't know much about tantra. I was still learning, as I still am in the learning page. I said, it's something, in trying to describe it to me, I said, it has something to do with connecting and, you know, like breathing together or something like that. And you know what his response was, Feather?
What?
I don't know, baby. You know, I'd be kind of tired if I had to expend a lot of breath.
I tell you what, let's put this on the back burner.
On the back burner.
Let's put this on the back burner.
All right. So
you're going.
Right. So okay, you want to wrap up tantra and let's get into some breathing or whatever else you have for us.
Okay. I just wanted to say that tantric sex is a revitalizing experience that will happen, that will deepen the love in your relationship and take your lovemaking to a higher, more spiritual level. But first, one must learn to become receptive to your own body. It's part of loving your body. Then you will become more loving to your partner's body and enjoy transformational lovemaking that will give hours of blissful union. And I know when we say hours, guys are going like, oh, what? You know, but in tantric sex, the man is taught how to prolong his orgasm. There are different techniques that that a man can use. It's also the way the positions where the man is relaxed with the woman on top, and when the couple lie side by side facing each other. There are different techniques. So don't be afraid to experiment with it.
I actually Googled Kama Sutra positions. Oh my goodness. Kama Sutra positions. You can explore for years those Kama Sutra positions.
Ah.
Fun for days. So, maybe we'll have to find someone that maybe practices Kama Sutra. Because in some Indian cultures, they teach those young girls those yoga and Kama Sutra positions, and they prepare them for marriage. So when they marry, come in with that Kama Sutra. Whew, it's almost like that Haitian Creole voodoo. Mm-hmm, I got a spell on you. This Kama Sutra.
Okay.
Oh, yes. My favorite time. Oh, my God. I'm already relaxed.
It's time to rest and release. Rest and release. Tonight we will practice pranayama, yoga, and qigong. Actually, Chinese yoga. Do these practices while seated. Black Rose reminded me that sometimes people just want to sit down and enjoy these practices, and usually we're standing up. So this I specifically we're going to do sitting down. So sit comfortably in a chair with feet flat on the floor, and lift your chest slightly. Align your shoulders with your ears. Look straight ahead and drop your chin just slightly so that the back of your head is aligned with your spine. Place your hands on your lower abdomen, your core center, with the left hand over the right for women, and reverse for men, right over left. Inhale, filling your stomach with air. Hold. Exhale and empty your stomach, pushing it all the way back to the spine. Inhale to the count of four. Hold. Exhale to the count of six. Inhale cool air through the nose. Exhale warm air out. Inhale four, two, three, four. Exhale, one, two, three, five, six. Now inhale and slowly turn your head to the right. Align your chin with your right shoulder. Exhale, inhale and bring your head back to the center. Exhale. Inhale and turn your head to the left, aligning your chin with your left shoulder. Exhale. Inhale and return your head back to the center. Exhale and drop your chin to your collarbone. Inhale and lift your chin up toward the sky. Keep your shoulders back but relax. Exhale and relax your head back to the center. Now inhale and raise your right arm up over your head. Exhale. Inhale, keeping your arm straight up, and lift your body slightly with your arm still raised, giving a full stretch on your right side. Exhale and slowly drop your hand back to your core. Sit up tall. Don't allow your shoulders to slump forward. Inhale and slowly raise your left arm over your head. Exhale. Inhale and lift your body with your arm still raised to give a full stretch on your left side, keeping your feet flat on the floor. Exhale. Bring your arm back down. Now, step out a little bit with your feet, with your left feet. You're still seated. Relax your knees, with both hands on your lower abdomen, palms facing your body. Inhale and open both palms upward. Now exhale and bend forward and spread your arms wide to the earth. Inhale as if you're scooping up leaves and bring your hands back to your core center, your lower abdomen. Exhale and spread your arms out to your sides, palms facing down to the earth, arms perfectly balanced, body straight. Inhale and flip your palms up and circle arms up over your head. Look up towards the sky. Exhale and slowly bring down. Good heavenly chi, slowly over your crown, your chest, and push your chi down toward the floor. Once more, place both hands on your lower abdomen facing your body. Inhale, open both palms upward. Exhale, bend forward and spread arms wide to the earth. Inhale, scoop up good energy. Bring it up to your core, back to your center, your lower abdomen. Exhale, spread your arms out to your sides, palms facing down to the earth, palms perfectly balanced, body straight. Inhale and flip palms up and up and circle arms up over your head. Look up towards the sky, exhale and bring down the chi over your body slowly. Last time, this time you will circle your arms up over your head and slowly bring your hands down into the Anjali Mudra, which is the praying hands. Bring it to your chest. Smile. Nod. Repeat after me. The God in me honors the God in you. Namaste. Thank you for joining us in this session. You did great. See you next time. Namaste.
Namaste, Feather Light. Namaste. I'm so glad you reminded us to keep our feet flat on the floor. That was a great, great reminder. Yes, because I felt my heel lifting. So namaste, good. Feather Light. Thank you so much for sharing tonight. Thank you, Scotty. And thank you, listeners. And we will be back next week. Have a prosperous week.
Namaste.
Namaste.